Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is my ace Friday engineer and producer. He always does such a fine job.
The only Friday.
The only. Yeah. Now, when I'm on vacation, so this is my last show for a couple of weeks, I know you will take very good care of the guest host.
I will do my best.
You will do your best. You always do.
Have you said where you're planning to go on your vacation?
Yeah, going to Madeira, which is a Portuguese island, and going to the Canary Islands. And oddly enough, the New York Times has a huge, very beautiful travel piece about the Canaries are like the place for astronomers to go because the atmosphere is so clear and the viewing apparently is unbelievable, but it's very interesting islands.
And haven't they been able to adapt their, they have some thermals or something there that they've been able to adapt and get power from? They get
most
some of their electricity?
Most of their energy in the Canaries, which is owned by Spain, it's part of Spain, is solar energy. Oh. Yeah.
So solar or thermal?
Solar and a combination and wind energy as well. So they're very environmentally sensitive. All right, here we go on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition, and want to do a big shout-out, as we do on Friday, to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Southern Arizona News Examiner. Our Friday Focus interview today, Farhad is here, Mr. Farhad Mogimi, the Executive Director of the Regional Transportation Authority, and he wears a couple of hats. He also is the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments. Joining me to question Farhad is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I wanted to say congratulations on your 44th wedding anniversary, you and
Anne.
Yes,
as I was joking on the air yesterday that I chose May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, so I would always remember it. But that's
very wise. Yeah. Very wise. Good planning.
Farhad, good to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Questions 790-2040, our live line number, and we still are welcoming Facebook friends. I try to keep everybody posted on what we're doing on the show at Bill Buckmaster, the Facebook page, and Twitter at Buckmaster Show. So a very big anniversary. Where does the time go? Not just 44 years of marriage, which have been 44 wonderful years, but 10 years of the RTA. The election was 10 years ago, May 16th.
That's right.
Hard to believe. And there had been other efforts before to pass this, I believe four, correct?
That is correct.
Four efforts, and then this time around, people accepted the plan by about a 60-40 margin.
That's correct. So we, as you mentioned, there were several times that we tried as a community. A couple times it was City of Tucson alone, and then obviously for the RTA, during the 2004-2000 time frame, the community came together and they decided to work towards a regional plan and a regional approach, and we're grateful for the voters and the public for supporting that plan in 2006.
The total number of projects authorized over that 20-year period, where are we on that whole timetable, the chronology of this thing?
So obviously there was 35 named projects. Those were the roadway projects, and we're halfway done with those projects. And then there were categorical funding for projects yet to be determined and identified that would meet the criteria within those categories. So to date, we've completed 755 projects total and roughly about $1 billion worth of investments over the last 10 years implemented those different categories. And the categories, just so you know, there was environmental and economic vitality category, there was a safety category, bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and then roadways as the other category.
How many dollars has all of this pumped into this community?
Well, again, directly $1 billion worth of RTA funds, and indirectly, obviously, we believe it has created millions of additional private investment in the downtown Tucson area alone because of the streetcar. We know that's over $1 billion of private sector investments just because of the streetcar project.
Sarah?
One of the things that people talk about with, you know, these super long-range plans, I mean, 20 years is a long time, and something that's come up with the Broadway widening project is that building projects that were planned years and years ago when things might have been different or expectations were different isn't really the way to go. Is there a mechanism to update plans, or how can they be changed, or are they written in stone because that's what the voters passed?
Yeah, again, our focus is really on the process and how we develop the design elements and components of each project. So the fallacy that these are predetermined based on 20, 30 years, I think that's not correct. We're looking at relevant information, we're looking at recent information, and the process is very recent. So speaking of Broadway, we've been working on that for the last 3 to 4 years. There's been a Citizens Advisory Committee. They've been looking at updated information and data. And throughout that process, at some point, a decision was made that the six-lane configuration was what would make sense and fit, obviously, the need for the community. So again, going back to your question, it's not predetermined. It follows a process, and throughout the process, it engages technical folks, community folks. There's a lot of public involvement in the process, and a decision is made throughout that process.
So when people say, you know, we're using old numbers, old projections, things like that, that's just incorrect.
That is incorrect. Okay. We have recent information that has been used, and as a result of those recent information, the decision was made recently, yes.
Okay, thank you.
What would you say, you said there were 35 major roadway projects.
Correct.
What would you say have been kind of the marquee attractions so far, and what do we have coming up that will be some big ones?
Well, the early phases, the way the RTA plan was divided up was in 4 or 5 year periods. So the early phase projects, for example, the Twin Peaks traffic interchange in Marana and the Camino de Mañana extension going all the way up to Tangerine and Dove Mountain, that was an early phase completed. As a result of that, you can see some private development and the mall that just came in recently. So that's one of those more significant projects. Down in Sahuarita, we got the Sahuarita Road project that was completed last year as well. So some of these other projects, Houghton Road, that's been ongoing, several different phases. We got one more phase that's currently under construction. So all the projects that are in the outlying areas, those were in the earlier phases, mainly because we knew those projects are not going to take as much time and effort going through planning process and reaching the final design and construction. So those projects are pretty much done. The projects that are remaining are mostly the ones that are in the urban core, the 22nd Street, Grant Road, Broadway. Those are the ones that we knew would take a little bit more time to plan for. And those are the ones that are coming up next. So Grant Road, the second phase of Grant Road would be under construction. It actually goes out for bid this summer, and that'll be under construction next year. And we hope to have Broadway under construction within the next 2 years as well.
Grant Road's going to be huge.
Yes.
in many ways, it will become, can you kind of give us where's the beginning and the end of that particular project?
Sure. So Grant Road, it was phased, five different phases. The very first phase was the Oracle and Grant Road intersection. The next phase that's going to go out for a bid here shortly is going to go from Park to Oracle Road. So that's another smaller phase, and then we got four other phases that are going to follow later on. So that goes all the way east to Swan, and those are all under design, and the timing will vary based on which segment is ready for construction.
And the people that are worried about their businesses along that area, what's going to happen with that?
Yeah, and that project has been, very much involved with the business community and the neighborhood community. Everybody's been very supportive of the project. The business community folks know it's coming and the timing. We're working with everybody closely. So we really haven't had any surprises along the way. People kind of know when the schedule is going to be. That's going to impact their immediate section of the road. So it's been one of the best models of planning and how we can implement the project. Everybody's excited about the project. The phase two is going to start here shortly, and we've been able to purchase some of the properties already and be able to open up the right of way for the improvements.
To the live line now, Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, guys. Obviously, appreciate everything that Farhad does for Tucson and for Southern Arizona. He's a tremendous resource. We're lucky to have him. I know it's difficult, but I was driving, Valencia just a couple yesterday. Obviously there have been tremendous improvements on coal through Valencia, but Valencia through, as you get towards the airport and maybe as it leads into Old Nogales Highway. That part of town, are there any planned improvements? Because especially from the airport, where are we with the airport leading into Tucson? Are we covered? Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thank you. The Valencia segments of the project that was identified in the RTA plan were west of I-19, and then essentially going east from Wilmont East. So the segment that you're talking about, that was not included in the plan. But obviously we know that at some point we need to do a lot more work on Valencia as well, and that's where we're hoping that with the next RTA2 phase of our plan, we might be able to include some of those projects in the next plan.
Yeah, because some of that roadway needs some work right now.
It does.
By the airport, and yeah. I sometimes think about that might not be the best impression for people coming into town.
Yeah. So again, we've talked about operation and maintenance and maintaining our roads. Obviously, that's one of those challenges that we all face. I think I mentioned that before, and that's the other hat we wear from a planning organization and identifying funding for a 30-year plan for the region. Just to put it in perspective, the whole region really is only getting about 50% of the revenue that we need to maintain and keep up of our roads. So we're really lacking the amount of funding to be able to maintain the roads, unless hopefully in the future at some point we'll be able to catch up with the funding for maintenance.
All right, let's take our break right here. It is the Friday Focus interview. We're talking transportation, 790-2040, if you'd like to join us. But right now, Tom has picked out, this is Producer's Day, pick of the week for Tom, our bumper music on Rock and Roll Friday on the Buckmaster Show. And Tom selected some Paul Simon. Solo Paul Simon.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
I want a shot of redemption. Awesome. Don't want to
very
end up a
nice. Paul Simon, you can call me Al. Tom, where did you ever dig up that video?
Well,
that
this was cool. Back in the day when MTV had a lot of songs and put on with videos. Everybody was doing videos.
Yeah.
Well, this is Paul Simon. He got Chevy Chase to help him out on
so
doing
cool.
this, where Chevy is mouthing Paul's lyrics,
yeah. So that
and making faces,
yeah. That's got to be back in like,
oh, this is in the 80s probably,
'80s. It is the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Farhad Mohkimi is with us, executive director of the Arizona Transportation Authority. He's also has the same title as executive director for Pima Association of Governments. Sarah Garrett Gaston is here. Sarah, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Her column appears every Thursday in the Star, and she's with us with the next question.
We were just chatting about how crummy a lot of the roads are around town, and you said that we don't have enough public money to take care of everything, which I think anyone who drives in around the area can verify, what would it take to fix up all the potholes, repave what needs to be repaved, and whose responsibility is that?
So two parts to the answer. Obviously, as part of our responsibility as the MPO for the region, we're required to have a 30-year plan and look at all the funding that's available to the region to implement all the transportation improvements as well as maintenance and transit in the plan. So the 30-year plan, currently we're looking at $14 billion worth of deficit to be able to implement, $14 billion
with a B,
to be able to implement all the needed transportation elements that we need to implement. So the second part to the answer would be, what do we need to get caught up and get to the point purely on maintaining our roads? Currently, we're estimating almost $1 billion is what we need to maintain our roads and bring them up to par. But obviously, from that point on, you still need to continue to maintain. So within the 20-year plan, we're looking at another $2 billion worth of maintenance only. So we're looking at $3 billion worth of maintenance in the next 30 years. Again, but the emphasis goes back on $14 billion is how much we need to implement all of the transportation elements that we need to implement for the next 30 years.
So how could, the city of Tucson could do a bond for transportation needs within the city. I'm not sure legally if the county could do the same. What are some ways that could the RTA go out for a bond? How would that work?
So for maintenance, obviously City of Tucson had the Proposition 409, which is currently underway, and they're doing a wonderful job of implementing those projects. I believe by 2017, that program would end. Pima County has authority to bond for maintenance as well as they did back in November, and unfortunately that bond was not passed. So, between the local jurisdictions, cities, towns, and the county, they typically rely on HERF money, which comes through the state. It's a state-shared proportionment of their funds coming from the gas tax, the state gas tax. So that's really the portion of money that hasn't been able to keep up with our needs. And unfortunately, typically over the last almost 10 years, we have not received the full amount that we're allocated to receive to be able to maintain the road. So that's been an ongoing challenge as well. So there's a menu of options how you can increase transportation investments for the future, and those topics are all being discussed. Obviously, gas tax was one source of revenue, licensing fees and those kind of things are the sources of revenues, and the federal gas tax is the same thing. So at the local state level, they're struggling with trying to solve that problem. At the local level, all the local cities and towns are doing their best, and then you go back to the Regional Transportation Authority as being the regional approach that has worked for us, obviously, for the last 10 years. But again, I need to stress that that's very specific to this plan. So we can only spend funds coming from the RTA on this plan and nothing outside of this plan.
Timing is everything in life. If it's not totally everything, it's probably 99% of what goes on. And when you think about May of 2006, it was 18 months later that this country began the worst economic decline since the Great Recession. You wonder if this kind of a plan ever could have gotten off the ground at a later time.
Again, you're right. I mean, we were fortunate to be able to put a plan together and get the voters to approve it for various reasons. And obviously, our economy since 2008, we know we've had a huge impact on our economy, and our recovery has been slower than even other cities our size. And so you're correct. I mean, had it been any time beyond 2008, it would have been a much more difficult question to answer. And I personally believe that at the same time, if it wasn't because of the RTA, that the $1 billion worth of investments would have really put our community in a much, much more different position. I think the $1 billion worth of investments have helped keep us along and somewhat have a local recovery for our city and for the county area.
And when you went out to bid projects, the price dropped dramatically after 2008 for road jobs because people, quite frankly, needed the business.
Exactly. Very competitive bids. You know, at times we had bids that were almost 20% below what the engineer's estimate were. And you're right, that's exactly why there were a lot of construction companies in the region, local construction companies that do great work. Unfortunately, they were, competing. They didn't have enough work. And so they would put bids in that were very competitive and at times just barely to be able to make their cost.
Sarah?
The Regional Transportation Authority as an entity and as a process, because as we mentioned, the region had tried to do transportation planning previously, but the RTA process actually worked and people came together and it passed. And it's sort of been held up as an example of how to do things right. Are there other areas where something like this sort of process could help our community? And what do you think makes the RTA work from a process level?
So from my personal experience, I was involved with the RTA planning process as early as 2004, 2005. And it was, I think it was the understanding and the belief that we're all in it together. We all need to work together and figure out how we're going to solve our funding problems and transportation needs. So really, I would go back to the foundation of that belief that we need to help each other out. We need to figure out what's the best solution for the community and focus on it. And since then, the governing body for the RTA has really pledged that they are going to meet this promise. They're going to deliver what's in the plan, and they've done a wonderful job of meeting every single promise that was made. We're going through our 10-year review process and looking at everything that we've committed that we were going to do. We're exactly at half point. We have a nice little chart that we did it just from a visual perspective to make sure that we know where our end promise is, and we're halfway with our promise on every single element on this plan. So it really takes every single day focus on delivering that promise and making sure that the public hopefully is engaged and involved in the decision-making process.
When would an authorization vote typically come on something like this for the next after the 20 years?
Yeah, so this is obviously our first time that we're starting to talk about reauthorizing and going back in the MAG area. Pima Association of Governments and Maricopa Association of Governments were kind of sister organizations. We work together closely in the MAG area. They're following the same schedule with us as well. So typically, it's best. It takes about 2 years minimum to plan and be able to bring something back to the community and ask for their support. So typically, you want to go out no later than 5 years before the plan expires. So that puts us roughly in the 2021 timeframe. So between now and 2021, we know we have to go back at some point. Again, given the fact that it takes 2 to 3 years to put a plan together, so we really have a window of opportunity anywhere between 2018 and 2021 to go back for another reauthorization.
All right, Farhad, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, and enjoy your vacation.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming into the studio. Sarah Garrett-Gasson sticks around, and we're joined by Sarah's counterpart, really has same title but different newspaper, with the Arizona Republic, Linda Valdez, editorial writer and columnist, will be coming along on our Friday roundtable portion of this hour that we do every Friday at noon on Buckmaster.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for our Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also our monthly Scam Alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, all happening on Buckmaster Monday, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and live streaming podcasts in our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Slip sliding away. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Paul Simon, the selections from Tom Fairbanks. Tom picking Paul Simon for our Rock and Roll Friday on the Buckmaster Show for our bumper music. Linda Valdez has joined us now. Linda is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic, and Sarah Garrett Gasson has a similar title.
Pretty much the same
at the Arizona Daily Star. So I'm very honored. I have the state's two largest newspapers represented in this room. Nice to see you both.
Happy to be here. Yes.
So congratulations to Linda, first of all. Your book, tell us a little bit about it. It's quite an honor, actually.
My book, Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across Borders, is on the short list for the Stanford University William Saroyan International Writing Prize.
And that is typically given to someone that is considered an emerging writer,
yes, of books, yes.
Well, mm-hmm. Very, very cool. Congratulations.
It's very exciting, yes. So we'll know this summer. They'll make the award this summer.
All right. So we're going to have a legislative session that looks like it's going to wrap up maybe today or tomorrow. Both of you ladies penned pieces about the budget overall. I think, Sarah, that was your piece, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yes.
All right. So your piece was Arizona Budget Process is Broken. That was the editorial in the Arizona Daily Star. And Linda's in the Arizona Republic, Arizona Deserves Better Than This Budget. Linda, how would you summarize this $9.6 billion spending plan?
Well, the summary, I think, has to be that Arizona does deserve better. The budget is, the legislature and the governor are still stuck in recession-era thinking. We need to think more boldly. We need to make investments in areas that have been cut. We're still starving the universities. We're still not putting money into K-12. They're letting everything ride on Proposition 1, 2, 3. It's very ideological. Even the university funding had $5 million in there for the Freedom Schools, which is it's an alarming thing when the state legislature and the governor decide what the curriculum is in the state's academic universities. That's regardless what they're deciding, that's an alarming thing. So I think all in all, we and this editorial did not reflect my views alone. It reflected the views of the Arizona Republic editorial board, and we were very disappointed. We called in January. We called for a bolder approach, and to start investing in Arizona, and they simply didn't do it.
Sarah, and you point out, you brought up some history from last year's budget process. Mm-hmm. I call that the dead of the night budgeting process.
Yes. Everything is behind closed doors.
Yes.
There was a public hearing this year in the House that started at like 9 p.m. On the budget. Like, people are going to be able to just zip on over and share their thoughts on the budget that was just unveiled. There was State Senator Steve Farley, a Democrat from Tucson, posted, while all of this was happening, a very fuzzy-looking copy of some summary numbers. And
that someone found on a Xerox machine?
Yeah, something. I mean, right. It's the Democrats were totally shut out. The public was totally shut out. And it's done by the majority Republican leadership and then sort of unveiled. So I think it's not a good, healthy process, and it disenfranchises a lot of people, and it's something that hurts the state.
If I could just add to that, I absolutely agree with that. But the bad process part of the whole process continued because Randall Fries, a Democrat from Tucson, Dr. Fries, was complaining on the floor of the House while they were debating the budget. He was urging them to slow down, be more deliberative, and pointing out that the Democrats had not had a chance to look at and review the budget. It was just ramrodded through.
Which means that people who are living in districts that are represented by Democratic elected officials are basically just left in the dust. We don't have a voice. We don't have any sort of input into the budget because of the majority. So it's a terrible process, and I live in hope that one day it will change, although I'm not very optimistic.
Well, the budget now, the kids' care was not part of the budget, correct?
Kids' care was not added to the budget. The kids' care bill passed the House initially, went to the Senate, and was blocked by Senator President Andy Biggs. Then there was an attempt to add it back on during the budget process, and that failed in the House. But then it came back again, it was amended onto another bill, which passed the House, and I believe it has also passed the Senate just a few minutes ago. I believe that. I was looking at Twitter, and there were some tweets about that.
But kids care, essentially, if we do not get on board with kids care, Sarah, we would be the only state. We're paying for kids care anyway, right?
Yes,
as part of our federal taxes.
Absolutely. It's a federally funded program, which involves tax money, which is why ideologically many of the conservatives are against it. And it serves the group of kids who fall between being in homes that are so poor they qualify for Medicaid, which is access in Arizona, and being able to afford, even with subsidies, insurance through Obamacare or their work. So these are working families, most of them. They are people who go to work, do what they're supposed to do, and just don't have enough money in their household budget to pay for medical care for their kids. And it is federally funded. There would be no state money. But the basic argument from State Senate President Andy Biggs, Republican, is that if there are any sort of diminishing, if the program ends, then all these kids are going to be cut off from their insurance anyway, so why not just do it now? But because we all pay federal taxes, our money is going to pay for kids' health coverage, in every other state. And it's ridiculous and it's morally wrong. And I hope it's true that the Senate did pass it.
These are people these are working families. They're kind of caught then in the middle, Linda Valdez. They're in the middle. This is a program that could give them some supplemental health insurance.
Yes. The Access, the state's Medicaid program, has estimated that 30,000 kids would be helped by this. And it's a program that was in the state for many years. It used to be a 3-to-1 match, one Arizona dollar, three federal dollars. But the legislature the Republicans in the legislature have never liked this program. They fought it initially when it was brought to the state, and during the recession they cut it and actually lost money by cutting it because of the $3 per dollar match from the feds. So they took their opportunity to cut it, and they were not happy about bringing it back. And many of the arguments that we heard this time around were the same arguments that they were offering years ago. And it is very much an ideological argument that they don't want to encourage dependency, is one of the things they say. And they feel that the kids can get care in emergency rooms. And there was also a concern that, as Sarah pointed out, right now it's 100% paid by the federal government. That's only guaranteed through 2017. It's expected to be extended for two more years. But they're concerned that, the money will be cut off. And those concerns were addressed in the bill. The bill was amended to say if the money from the feds stops coming, you can stop enrolling children.
Linda, could you share with the audience the exchange you heard watching the House debate yesterday about insurance and?
Oh yeah, this was when they were debating the budget on the House floor. They were attempting to add that the amendment. They were debating the amendment, and Republican Rusty Bowers was questioning Randall Freese. Randall Freese was speaking in favor of it. And he asked him several questions about whether if you're sick you can go to the emergency room, clearly the point being that there are options for these children. And then he asked them the very strange question. He said, Dr. Freese, have you ever known a child who had insurance who died? And the implication apparently was that even children who have insurance can die. It was rather a non sequitur. It was a very strange exchange, but I think it demonstrates that there isn't a lot of reason that in the arguments against this program. And also, to be perfectly fair to Representative Bowers, he was very upset because some of the Democrats who were championing the program suggested that children might die if they didn't get medical care, if the program wasn't approved. So he felt he was being personally put upon, that he would be responsible for these deaths.
All right. Well, moving on to some much better news. This has been really kind of a banner week for economic development in Tucson, and congratulations to everybody that's been involved in this. This is really big news. I interviewed Chuck Huckleberry on the program the morning of during the noon hour. The announcement had just been made, and I asked him, how big a deal is this Caterpillar announcement with 900 jobs that pay, on average, $90,000 a year? And he said you'd have to go back to some of the big job announcements of IBM back to the 1980s. It's that big a deal, Linda Valdez, for Tucson. And for those who say, well, Linda, she works for a Phoenix newspaper. You've lived in this community for a long time.
Yes, I have.
I mean, you're part of this community since?
Since 1964, except for 2 years that we lived in Phoenix.
So this is a big deal, this announcement.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal, and especially for downtown development. We really have been trying to get our downtown going. It is, I mean, I don't want to say a discouraging word. It does concern me that these jobs are going to go to people who are being brought in from out of state. I would hope that this is just an initial move and that they are going to try to hire local talent and encourage local talent, because I'm sure we have people here who can do those jobs. But it is a very big deal. They're getting a pretty good deal from Rio Nuevo, but yeah. Yes, it's a big deal for Tucson. It's a big deal for downtown, and I was very happy.
And it's not just bringing jobs in from people from this country. It's really some of these divisions, these are overseas people, so there's going to be a lot of relocations to the Tucson area. And also coupled with, and I know these Comcasts, they completely redid their call center. There's 1,100 jobs at this newly remodeled Comcast center that opened this week, I believe. So obviously the jobs at Comcast are not going to be paying $90,000 on average, but they are good jobs. They do pay benefits. So I think coupled together with the Caterpillar and the Comcast, it's a pretty good week for Tucson.
I would say so. And the thing about the $90,000 a year jobs, you know, people, they are going to apparently relocate a lot of folks, but those people will pay taxes. They will shop. They will dine out in our fabulous restaurants. So it's not exclusive. It's a good deal to have people with high incomes in your community, even if they originally start by moving here from someplace else.
All right. On that note, we'll end on a positive note. Linda Valdez, good to see you. Linda, congratulations on your book.
Thank you, Bill.
Again, a plug for your book. Where is it available? Name of the book?
The name of the book is Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across Borders, and you can get it at Antigone Books.
And Amazon, of course.
And Amazon, of course,
all right. And Sarah, I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
And I'm as excited as your husband about hockey coming.
Excellent. Yep. He's pretty darn excited.
Yeah, I know he is. All right. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
Seems so glad to see me. I just smile. And we talked about some old times. And we drank ourselves some beers. Still crazy after all these years. Oh, still crazy after all.
Hi, this is Ken Flower with Arizona Party Rental. We are proud to provide everything Arizona Wildcat fans need to enjoy the game. And here to tell you all about it is a very familiar voice.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats. Make the right call and do what the cats do. Call Arizona Party Rental for your next special event.
Thanks, Brian. Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant, and our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're preparing for the big Memorial Day 21st annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival. It's a free event. The headliner will be Taj Mahal Trio, just 3 hours over to Silver City, and great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila, guest houses, and Pinos Altos Cabins, to name a few. Check out the website southwestnewmexico.org for all the listing of the great places to stay and the many things to do. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell, who is still in the Cinco de Mayo mode. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great, Bill, and you know, the Cinco celebrations continue, surprise, surprise, this weekend. And I think the Mero Taquero event at Casino del Sol tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, a great way to cap off the festivities. This is an international taco festival that will showcase the work of more than 25 taco vendors. And, Bill, we're all invited to sample each and every one of them if we can and vote for our favorite. Throw some salsa demonstrations and live mariachis into the mix, and you have a delicious way to close out another successful Cinco season.
A margarita to you, sir, for just being able to pronounce that that event at Casino del Sol. And speaking of events, this agave festival is going to be really neat.
Yeah, fans of tequila and mezcal and the full spectrum of agave spirits are in for a big treat tomorrow night at the Hotel Congress. The 8th annual Agave Fest. More than 60 agave selections will be featured, and you can sample some of the world's best, responsibly please, while taking in a craft cocktail competition, delicious street food, and live music. I'll be returning as MC again this year, and I will be on the lookout for Buckmaster Show listeners at the Agave Fest tomorrow night.
Yeah, we had Todd Hanley on the show from Hotel Congress a couple of days ago, and it's going to be a fun event.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, and Mother's Day, of course, the big, a lot of people love to take Mom out to brunch.
Yeah, and you know what? Treating her to a memorable meal is one of the things I love most about the day, and some of the menus that I've seen for Sunday are definitely mom-worthy, like the slow-cooked short rib or the Mediterranean sea bass at North Italia, or the cast-iron southern-style baked eggs with andouille sausage at the Parish. And get this, Bill, this year our friends at Proper are offering bottomless mimosas, or is that mamoses, during their celebration. Food and drink fit for mom will not be hard to find this weekend, I assure you.
What's in the current issue on the column?
Yeah, what would Charles Dickens have to say about the new seasonal menu at Commoner & Co.? Many are asking, what the Dickens? And it is all revealed in the current edition of Inside Tucson.
Wonderful weekend to you, sir. Thank you.
Cheers, Bill.
And a big event also coming up, the Tucson Pops concert at the Meester Bandshell in Reed Park, Sunday evening at 7, now in its 61st year. Bring your lawn chair and blanket. Going to be fun. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of the whole team here at KVOI, including station managers and owners Doug and Mary Martin, our operations manager Ray Allen, who is also my producer-engineer Monday through Thursday, my producer-engineer Tom Fairbanks on Friday, Ed Alexander, production ace Jerry Cross, all of the great people here, and the executive assistant to Buckmaster, Rosemary Brandt. We all wish you a very safe and wonderful weekend.